Yeah, so today I'm going to give a talk on self force effects and weak field scattering. Again, my name is Kunal Lobo. I work with Sam Gralla at the University of Arizona. So before we go into what we specifically did, I want to go into some background and some history about how this calculation started. So in 1960, this calculation started in the context of electromagnetic self force. It started in 1960 with DeWitt and Brehm, drive the Taylor integral formulation for this self force. And in 1964, DeWitt and DeWitt used their Taylor integral formation to approximate this to first order in post-Newtonian approximation. Earlier, a few talks ago, we looked at the difference between post-Newtonian and post-Minkowskian. In 1980, Westfall and Goller did the same calculation as DeWitt, except they did it in the post-Minkowskian approximation, which once again allows us to keep velocity exact. In 1985, Westfald uses his results for the electromagnetic self force and actually uses to solve for small angle scattering. Additionally, Westfald calculated the gravitational scattering angle to two post-Minkowskian using a different method. And this is still the same scattering angle we accept today. So after the electromagnetic self force had been done, there was an analogous, can we do the same kind of self force with gravity and with a scalar self force? And this has been done in 1997 and 2000. In 2002, Fenning and Poisson revisited this DeWitt and DeWitt calculation. Again, this is a post-Newtonian approximation. They revisited the EM self force, but additionally, they also solved for the gravitational self force and the scalar self force. What we want to do is we want to use the same formulation that Fenning and Poisson used in 2002, and we want to do it to post-Minkowskian order, though. So we want to calculate the self force for scalar, electromagnetic, and gravitational self forces, and we're going to calculate the deflection angles for each of the two cases. And as you'll see, we reproduce the Westfald 2PM scattering angle. Okay, so the way we did this is using the self force formalism. And the self force formalism involves integrating over retarded Green's functions. Now the interesting thing that we noticed is that if you have a 2-point function, this is the point x that we're looking at the Green's function for, the tail part of the integral is only present in the light cone of within the light cone of the star. So in the immediate past, there's no contribution from the green from the tails in the tail integral of the retarded Green's function. So we are purely integrating inside this light cone of the star. And just for terminology's sake, I'm going to call the star as the source of the of our gravitational of our metric, and the particle is the particle orbiting it. And until further notice, we're going to be working in the frame where the star is at rest and the particle is orbiting it. So in the scalar case, you can integrate the Green's function over the past time. And again, we're going to integrate the tail part of the Green's function. And this can also be done in electromagnetism and gravity. There's a few more indices on this Green's function, but it's the same concept. One of the other important contributions, since we are considering the body to be a star, is that we have to think that the particle is not just much further away than the to allow us to use the post-Minkowskian approximation, but we also have this. We also have to say that the size of the star is relatively small compared to how far away the particle is. Okay, so the way we actually did this is we set the particle to be moving in the z direction with initial speed v. Everything is done in the xz plane. And the impact parameter B is in the X direction. Now, everything in the tail integral, the tail portion of the retarded Green's function is of order one post-Minkowskian. So when you consider the motion of the particle, there's the exact motion and there's the background motion. Now, when we do when we look at the perturbation to the background motion to get the exact motion, that's also first order post-Minkowskian. And right now, all we're considering is first post-Minkowskian, which means that we could ignore the difference between the background motion and the exact motion, and we can consider just the background motion to this order. This allows us, when we do the integral, to integrate over only the background motion of the particle. Now, what we found is we found the self force for all three of these different types of forces, scalar, electromagnetism, and gravity. We found them as a sum of 9 master integrals, which we've already solved for. As you can see, a lot of these integrals in many of these forces are the same. Now, again, we found the self force in both the z direction and the x direction. Because we're in the xz plane, there's not going to be a self force in the y direction. Now, one of the things that Fenning and Poisson pointed out in the 2002 paper is that in a space-time containing matter, you need to also account for something that they called the matter-mediated force. So because we're not really in a vacuum space-time, we have to take this into account. The star has matter, and the fact that the star is matter and not a black hole is going to have some kind of impact on our calculations. So the way we calculate this matter-mediated force is we're first going to solve for the motion of the star in response to the particle's field. So the particle is perturbing the star's motion. The star is no longer just going to be able to sit at rest. The particle is now going to impact the star's motion. And because of the star is now moving, we no longer have a pure Schwarzschild metric. The perturbed star is going to have a different metric from the Schwarzschild metric. And from that perturbed metric, we can calculate how that perturbed metric impacts the particle at a later time. This effect is what we call a matter-mediated force. Now, one thing that we find is that the order to which the matter-mediated force has an effect is the same exact order as the self force, allowing us to nicely add the two together to get the total force for gravity. Now, using the self force and or matter-mediated forces, we can get the deflection angle for all three cases. So all we have to do is take our self force, integrate the equations of motion to get the final velocity in both directions. And from the final velocity in both directions, we can get the deflection angle for scalar, EM, and for gravity. In the case of gravity, again, we are considering both the gravitational self force and the matter-mediated force. It's important to think about what these terms mean. So these three terms over here are just our geodesic terms, assuming you can assume the particle is a point mass and much, much smaller than the star. These are just the terms you get from integrating the geodesic equation. And these are the terms you get from integrating the self force and or matter-mediated force equations. Now, it's important to note our small parameters. This is our weak field parameter. The reason V squared also has to be big enough to support this is if V squared is small enough, you're not going to get a small scattering angle. It's going to kind of horse you back and be a much bigger deflection angle than we want to consider. So V squared has to be big enough to allow this. And we also need our charge, whether it's scalar, EM, or gravity, to be relatively small compared to the impact parameter and the mass. So these are our two small parameters that we're considering for this kind of deflection.
2 minutes left.
Okay, so let me just quickly go into the derivation for our how we get the Westphal scattering angle. So you probably notice that the first term that we consider here is first order post-Minkowskian. The second term that we notice that we calculate from the self force and the matter mediated force, m over b times little m over b, this is second order post-Minkowskian. And if you want the true second order post-Minkowskian, we can no longer neglect the geodesic second order post-Minkowskian term that we drop over here. So what we're going to do is we're going to add in our second order post-Minkowskian term. Now, one thing that's really interesting from this is you see that the coefficient for the second order post-Minkowskian term exactly matches the coefficient when we add the self force and matter-mediated force term together. So this is going to be useful in just a second. The next thing we have to do is we have to boost into the center of mass frame. Again, we've been in the star frame. We now need to boost into the center of mass frame. This boost is really simple, and all we have to do is multiply by E over M. Again, M being the mass of the star, little m being the mass of the particle. And this is our deflection angle that we get. Now, because of what we noticed up here, because of the coefficients, E is symmetric in mass, as you can see over here. In the two masses, as m goes to little m, E is going to be symmetric. But because these two coefficients match, little m and big M are also symmetric upon exchange, which allows us to prove that even if we haven't assumed conservative dynamics, which we haven't done, we still find that our deflection angle is symmetric and the deflection angle will be the same for both masses. So without assuming conservative dynamics, we're still able to say this. Now this deflection angle is the same as a deflection angle found by Westphal using a different approach. So using our method, our self-force formalism, we were able to rederive Westphal's approach without using conservative dynamics, without the assumption of conservative dynamics. We can still show that the self-force formalism can reproduce Westphal's results. So how does this help us in the future? Well, hopefully this shows how the self-force formalism can fit into post-Minkowskian scattering calculations. And possibly even using this method, we can possibly push this to 3 post-Minkowskian or 4 post-Minkowskian.